Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Huh? How are you guys doing today? Right on. Good evening to everybody online. We're coming out here today, and I just realized I haven't been on stage in probably 8 months. So this is kind of new for me. They say it's like riding a bike. I don't know. But if you don't know me, I'm Pastor Tom, and I was over our Cal State campus. The sticker is because I just took my temperature, and I'll give it to Hector. So I got a few announcements to read, and church offices are going to be closed 1 p.m. this Thursday for New Year's Eve. And if you need us, we always have a pastor on call, so don't hesitate to reach out to us. Tithe and offering, due to COVID, we are taking offering a little differently these days. We are collecting offering on the way out of service. I think the receptacles are back there. So just drop your check or envelope in the bucket, or feel free to visit our website, click tithe here. And if you'd prefer to write a check, please mail it to Valley Bible Fellowship, P.O. Box 6266, Bakersfield, California, 93386. That's all the announcements. Pastor Hector and I are up here tonight. I don't think Hector and I have been together on stage in a long time. So I'm excited just to share what God's been doing a little bit in my life and just talk about 2020. So how many people are ready for this thing to go away in about... in a little over 27 hours or something like that. So 2020's been a... I heard somebody says that they hope 2021 doesn't go watch this, you know, the 2020. So I do believe God's grace has always been through helping all of us get through it. I don't know about you, but I've seen a lot of things happen. A lot of things have... 2020 has kept giving in my life, not in the good way, I'll tell you that. But I'm going to talk to you about it a little bit here in the study. Hector, did you want to
share that's the question I have for you. What is God saying to you about 2021?
Amen.
Through our devotionals? We stay close to the bookmark. You know, we stay real close to that, and keeps us consistent, keeps us tied together. So, Tom, what is God telling you?
Yeah. Let me pray this. Father God, just anoint tonight. God, I pray, Lord, that you would anoint the technology, the internet connection, the audio and visual. Lord, I just know, God, that anytime people stand up here, it's kind of, for me, it's a solemn moment. Because as we're speaking, we're able to speak what's happening in our lives. And God's Spirit is moving in people that are on the internet. Maybe in a different city, different state, different country, different continent. So I pray, God, that you'd anoint the words, because your word does say that your word doesn't go out and return void. So anoint the service tonight and move in everybody's life, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Hector, you're so true. I brought out the fire starter, and Pastor Ron wrote this book, and I've got a new appreciation for it because there's a lot of work that goes into this. But in the last 5 months, this has read my mail each and every day. I don't know if any of you are like that, or you wake up in the morning, because I've had a lot of moments in the last 5 months that I really needed to hear from God. And this daily devotion has basically read my mail, read my thoughts, honestly. But isn't that what God's word says? It says that he knows what we need before we even ask it. The asking sometimes moves in our life to humble us to basically ask for something. I don't know how many of you are prideful. I see a lot of gals out there, but there's pride runs through men's life, doesn't it, guys? And it comes out in the weirdest forms. It's like you don't even have to drum up pride. It's just there. I mean, you know, what do they say about the devil? That he roars and roams the earth looking for somebody to devour. And he can do that in many ways. So what God's been doing in my life with the devotions, and I think I'll go for a sector, is I do believe that everyone here is anointed, everyone with God's Spirit's anointed to minister to other people around them. because I do believe that's how God works. I believe that God wants to use us each and every day to be a vessel for him. You know, and as we want to do that, sometimes we're just either obedient or disobedient, right? I know what it's like to be disobedient. I don't know if you guys do. I know when I have moments that I kind of probably shined a little brighter than I did. But I do believe getting up in the morning, starting devotions. I did today's devotion with my Zoom Bible study. I've been doing a Zoom Bible study with some older guys. Now, I'm older. I'm 62. So when I say older guys, I've got a couple guys on there that are older than me. But we've had life happen just through Zoom over this. Phil Welch keeps us, Phil Welch keeps us on track because he said, you know, we've been doing Zoom Bible study since March 16th. And I thought, wow, you're kidding, that long. But we've been a fellowship. And so today, as we started out, I was, after the Zoom Bible study ended on today's scripture, I go, I know what I'm speaking on tonight. It was in today's scripture. God revealed it to me this morning in today's scripture, and we previewed it through our Bible study. So my verses today are going to come out of Deuteronomy 31, verse 1 and 2. I'm going to start there. And as we start there, I do believe this is a process of transition for the nation of Israel. I don't know if you've been reading in Deuteronomy, but they've been overviewing some of the experiences of coming out of Egypt, some of the things that they did well. And Moses, you know, we all know, struck the rock twice when he was told to speak to it. And so God says, you're not going into the promised land. So in Deuteronomy 31, 1 and 2, it says, so Moses went and spoke these words to all of Israel. There again, he spoke the words that God had told him. So if you're doing a daily devotion or you're up and you're reading the fire starter, I think it starts there. God can start speaking to you, giving you things to say before you even say, God, I need to talk to you today. And it says, though, he told all Israel, and he said to them, I'm 120 years old today. And, you know, whatever day he wrote that, I don't know if it's his birthday or what, you know, I think I'm really 62 and like a half or a quarter. So he was telling them that I'm 140 years old. He started the ministry really when he was 80. So he's been in the ministry like 40 years. And he goes on to say, I am no longer able to come and go. And the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. The older I get those words a lot more. There's a lot of things that I can't do anymore that I used to do. So my PowerPoint one is, if you prepare for change, it shouldn't be scary. I don't know how many people's lives have changed in 2020. Anybody out there? Sometimes it's a big impact. Sometimes you think it's a little impact. But I do believe if you're ready or prepared, it shouldn't be scary. Because the Bible says, and Jesus lays it out plain and simple, it says, in the world, you're going to have what? You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trouble. He doesn't even hide that. I don't know about you guys, but Christians come to me and they say, man, I accepted Jesus Christ in my life and I thought it'd be easier. I go, man, show me where you see that in the Bible, because I don't see that. I see Jesus plainly saying, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have problems. You know, I really don't like problems. I don't know about you. You know, I like the smooth waters, but the waters, the old saying says that a smooth waters doesn't make a good sailor. You know, you need that rough waters to become a good sailor. So I think part of preparing for change is doing what we're doing here, coming to church, being plugged in with a group. Maybe it's your spouse. You know, I tell people who come to me for marriage counseling, I do marriage counseling pretty much every day of the week, and I know Hector does it pretty much every day of the week. And I always tell people that everybody wants to invite God in, right, on your day you get married. You know, they'll include, you know, maybe some Bible verses in Genesis talking about marriage. But when you're having problems or you're getting a divorce, sometimes you don't want to include on, right, God in. You know, that's when I think sometimes it's the most valuable. I deal with people saying, if you hang in during the difficult times, it'll get better. Now, I don't say what it means to get better, but I never believed that marriage was there to make you happy. I talk to people all the time and say, I deserve to be happy. I don't see that in the Word. I think you deserve to be holy, because isn't that what God's Word says? You'll be holy because I'm holy. So as I look for things like that and I minister to other people, I'll just say that I don't see that where we're supposed to be happy all the time. I think the joy of the Lord is our strength, which means if we're doing things to make God happy, then I think that's our strength, and I think God lets us enjoy those things. I mean, it's one of those things that I tell people, if you prepare for things, I think that you'll be okay. And it's funny, Proverbs says that there is a season for everything. It says there's a season for living, there's a season for dying. There's a season for plowing, there's a season for planting. It just talks about seasons. And if we don't really get those seasons that they come and they go in our life, then we're going to have to really dig down deep when a change comes in to change our life. When I first had to figure this out, I remember it because I've been retired from two other professions before I came in the ministry. It was kind of scary, but I didn't know the Lord then. The second time that came a transition into my life, moving from the corporate world into the ministry, I knew the Lord. And I knew it wasn't going to be easy. I knew it would be difficult. My wife and I went down to one car. I took a two-thirds salary cut because I knew God wanted me in the ministry. And so it was a lot different back then. So as I do, and a lot of people, guys who are around me, I try to go to the Lord every year, New Year, and I'll go to the Lord again in a couple days. And I ask him for verses that kind of framework my life. And 4 years ago, I got a verse in Leviticus 19:25, and I just was praying. I got a verse, and God confirmed it in my life. And this verse says, in the fifth year, you are to eat of its fruit, that its yield may increase for you, and I am the Lord your God. I asked him two things. I had a five-year plan 4 years ago, and I asked God, confirm it with a verse, and I want to know it's you. And I've shared this from the pulpit before, and he did. So I've been kind of coming into COVID with expectations like, hey, this is the fifth year of my verse, and I'm gonna, you know, really get to eat of the fruit, which I believe was being ministry. And I had to come up with two mottos this year for my life. And 4 months ago, I came up with this motto one. It says, forget everything and run, or face everything and rise. So August 18th, 2020, I was going down to Cedars-Sinai for just a physical. I've done this for 45 years. I'm just going down for a physical. And at the top of the grapevine, I knew this wasn't going to be a regular day. My heart started just racing out of control. And it caught my attention because it started beating really fast, and I started to get worried to the point that I started to feel a little bit dizzy. And I went ahead and drove down to Cedars-Sinai, my doctor, and I got out of my car, called my wife, and I said, I'm in trouble. She goes, what's wrong? I go, I don't know. But I'm getting ready to go into my doctor's office, and I think he's going to tell me. So when I went in there to see the doctor, they looked at me, and they knew I was in trouble. And they first thing they did was took my pulse, and my blood pressure was 200 over 100. Terrible. And they looked at me, and my doctor and the nurses, they all rushed in to work on me, and they say, what's going on? I go, I was just driving down here, and my heart just went crazy. So they kind of rested me down, and they got my blood pressure down to 160. Which is still really high. And so my life changed that day. I ended up being diagnosed with a heart valve problem, high blood pressure, which I've never had in my life. My life changed that day because they told me that you can't drive home. My wife had to come get me. I go, we're in LA. She's in Bakersfield. She's teaching for the day. And so it was one of those moments that I was there, but I was preparing for change. I knew something was going to come up this year, but I wasn't expecting that. Was not expecting that at all. And so as it started a new journey, a lot of you guys know I'm a fitness guy, and they told me I can't work out anymore. And I was like, what do you mean I can't work out anymore? They go, well, you have a heart valve problem. I go, well, no, that's what I do. You can't tell me you got to take that away from me. That's part of who I am. And I struggled with that's who I am for about a week. Now, as I was started on medication and changing my lifestyle, I didn't sleep for 2 weeks. My heart would just race out of control, and there was moments that I just knew that I was going to either have a stroke or a heart attack, and I didn't, but I really dug into the Word and that, and I think God spoke into my heart, like, is that really you? Are you a fitness guy? Are you a servant of mine? And I had to come up and go, you know what? I used to be a fitness guy, but I think my life is getting ready to change, and I didn't like it, but I had to face it, and I said, no, I'm a servant of yours. So I had to change a lot of things. A lot of people look at me and they say, hey, you look different. I go, well, I've lost 30 pounds because of this traumatic event in my life. So fast forward up until 3 weeks ago, I went down and took a stress test because they wanted to see blood flow after they got my heart under control. There's still no reason why it happened. I do believe God was in it because I can tell you this. And I look at the church of, Church of Ephesus, where God says you left your first love. And I knew I did. Now, I never left Jesus. I didn't commit any big sin. But I had left that love that I had for Jesus in those beginning days when I got saved. My neighbors used to tell me that I drove them nuts because I would knock on the door on Saturday and witness Christ to them. You know, are you saved? You know, and it was just funny. I had lost that. And I said, God, I'm going to go back to that because you've got my attention. So as I was driving down there, I got a stress test done. I came back the next day, and this was 3 weeks ago. My wife and I got up Thursday morning, and I just had a great stress test, kind of was giving my life back. And I went into work that day, and I got a text from my wife about 11:30. She goes, Tom, you have to come pick me up at work. And I go, what's wrong? She goes, I'm sick. I go, you're fine when you left the house. She goes, I'm sick and I can't drive. So I went and picked her up, and we went to the ER, and we both were diagnosed with COVID 3 weeks ago. Day after, I had a great stress test. I'm like, I can't even celebrate that. Now I have COVID. And of course, my wife and I, we were both sick, highly sick. I tell people today, and I tell Hector the other day, because Hector and I are brothers, because he survived COVID, and so have my wife and I. And there was harrowing moments. There was at least twice that I thought I was going to the hospital, at least once that I thought I was going to take my wife down to Cedar Sinai, because she has specialists. And we didn't, but we had so many people that came into our life to bless us. And so, but I was prepared for something. I just didn't know 2020 was going to leave me as it's going out, just kind of in a state that I am. But as we've come through this, I look at all the blessings that my wife and I've had. You know, we have come through it. People keep asking about us. We're okay. People were so kind to us. Kristen Taylor, I keep thanking her because I think she saved my life with some of the things that she brought to our house. But as we were there, my 4 months have been kind of tough. But all along, I knew something was coming up. And what it did was it led me back to the Word. I started playing worship music in my house. If you come into my office and you have a counseling appointment with me, I'm going to direct you to start playing worship music in your house 24/7 because I used to do that. And what a blessing it was for me. I mean, it was just all the time. And so as I was sleeping kind of in a different position, I was having my heart problems, I started playing the worship every night. And I was like, why did I stop doing this? And so I've added all these things back into my life because I went through something. And I have another PowerPoint. And actually, you know, guys, it's partner and support others in their change. That is something I've really learned about as I was coming through all this. And the verse is Deuteronomy 31, verse 3. It says, and that's out of today's devotion. It said, it is the Lord your God who crosses ahead of you. He will destroy the nations before you, and he shall dispossess them. Joshua is the one who will cross ahead of you, just as the Lord has spoken. And he went on to say something to Joshua in verse 6 of today's verse. He says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Brings me up to my second motto that I've put in my life over the last 4 months. And I've had to put these in because we've had harrowing moments. I mean, because I didn't know I was going to make it. But my next motto is, the key to change is let go of fear. Moses told the Israelites, I'm 140 years old. I can hardly go out and come in. And so I'm not going into the promised land. But he says, Joshua is going to be your guy. But Moses prepared Joshua for that whole thing. So I always love to have young guys, other believers around me, like my Zoom Bible study, my in-person Bible studies. I love to have those young guys because they have something I don't. In Exodus, I love the story about Moses. He recognized he was getting older and he had a young guy that was a protege and he gave Joshua a chance. So I always tell people, you got to give young people a chance. I see that with my daughters who are 21 and 24, and I see that with some of the young staff, my daughter's boyfriend, Danny, who's 21. You've got to give them a chance to exercise their wings, right? My daughter, in the middle of my heart problem, got an amazing job offer in Tennessee. So my daughter, I remember, came in and says, Dad, I don't want to stress you out more because your heart problem, but I'm moving to Tennessee, and I go, okay, we're going to cross that bridge when we get there. And as she's moving to Tennessee, people ask me, when are you going to move to Tennessee? I'm not moving to Tennessee. I mean, God called me to Tennessee. He called me to Bakersfield, you know. Is there like God called me to Tennessee? I mean, I've got to serve God where I'm called to. But a lot of people go, when are you going to move to Tennessee? I go, my daughter's moving to Tennessee. I didn't have kids, raise them up in the Lord, and to chase them around the United States. I didn't do that. I go, I want my kids to have all the opportunities to serve God where he's calling them. I was really proud of her boyfriend who's 21, and you know, and I do believe that one day they'll probably be married, and they're hoping that. He's a student at Fresno State. And I told my daughter, I go, does Danny think about this? And I was really proud of Danny because he came back to us and he says, I do believe the Lord's in it. So they've been dating for 6 years, and she's 21, he's 21, he's a student at Fresno State, she just graduated, and he's saying, I want her to have this opportunity. I believe God's in it. I go, Danny, I'm really proud of you because you're almost letting her go. Letting her go to a new state. Letting her go to where she can spread her wings in a field that she is going to. But it wasn't something that, you know, my wife and I are going to go through easily. I think more now that she's going to be leaving in 3 weeks, it's even hitting us harder. You know, it's like my wife goes, hey, this is serious stuff. And I go, I know it is, but God will get us through it because he always has got us through this. You know, and we can't let fear rule our lives. That's one of the things I think people will come to a lot of times is they'll see a change or something and all of a sudden fear will set in and you can't let it rule your life. You have to be able to set it because one of the verses that Joshua got from Moses before he was given command was in Deuteronomy 31, 1 and 2. No, excuse me, guys. That wasn't the verse I had. Where was it? He told Joshua, be strong and courageous. Right here it is. It says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for your Lord goes with, God goes with you. Moses was telling him something very important. He was saying, it's not me that led you. It was the Lord that led you. He was saying, Joshua is going to be your contact, your human on earth to spiritually guide you, but it's still not going to be Joshua that's going to do it. It's going to be the Lord your God. He's the one that's going to give you the victory. And if you get your eyes off of God anywhere during this process, that's where people make the mistakes. And one of the areas that Moses trained up Joshua and gave him an experience in was when they fought the Amalekites and Israel at Rephidim. It says, so Moses said to Joshua, choose men for us to choose men for us and go out and fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on top of the hill with a staff of God in my hand. And he gave Joshua a chance. He goes, I want you to go out and choose the guys. And I want you to go out and fight the battle, but I'm going to walk up on the hill and I'm going to hold my staff up. And it was so interesting because they realized that as long as Moses' hands were up, they were winning. But the minute he got tired and lowered it down, they started losing. So he actually had some of the older guys go over with him and they'd hold his hand up with him. It's one of the first things that we see as Joshua getting a test, but Moses was still behind the scenes spiritually supporting him. So I just got to believe that as God changes in our life, we've got to be able to see the younger guys or gals or people around us. It's what we're doing here now. I couldn't be more proud of our young staff. I don't know if you've enjoyed Josh's ministry up here, but I sure have. I knew Josh Vietti when he was 14 years old. I knew Josh by new Pastor Ron. I was helping Josh with football back then, and he was a heck of a football player and weightlifter. But I remember him then, but to see him come up here now and deliver God's word and me take pages of notes is such a blessing. I do believe, and I tell everybody around me, that this church, whether COVID was coming or not, we were prepared to go onto the online atmosphere because of Josh Vietti, Vince Sierra, and Seth Parker. Now, Vince and Seth are back there, but they were all there getting us ready to go online when we weren't encouraging them, hey, let's go online. And so when COVID hit and we went virtual, we were ready. And I do believe that was God's plan. But we had to give them the opportunity to spread their wings and to be there. Now, us older guys like Hector and I, we're still here. The young guys are coming on, but we have to give them more. I used to do announcements for how many years, Hector? 15 years on stage. Last year, I gave it away to Shane and Tom and Justin Greer because I was like, if I'm doing it, I'm doing it wrong because they have to be the ones that are going to carry this ministry to the next level. But that's going to cause me to change too because I have hope for the ministry God's going to bring me into at 62 or 63. Now, 4 months ago, with a heart problem, then COVID over the last 2 weeks, I didn't see it, but I still trusted God. And is there fear in my heart? No. Is there not sure of how God's going to do it? I'm always there with not sure how God's going to do it. I mean, every ministry I've been involved in, I've brought the Lord and what he's telling me to do inside of what we're doing. And I think he'll keep telling us, but we're still in this. And as my 5-year verse, I got 5 years ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I never got a note on the fifth year going, hold on, You know, it never said, hold on for that fifth year because it's going to be a doozy, you know, because I didn't even know that maybe that was something that was going to come in my life. But it's just funny how 2020 keeps giving back to me, and it causes me to keep changing and reevaluating. But it's always okay if you lean on the Lord.
Good. Good. Awesome.
It's the only way I know how to live, gang. I lived 34 years in the world, and that doesn't work. When I have the controls, it does not work. When I gave the controls to God in my life at 35, and I can tell you, these years between 35 and 62, it hasn't been easy, but God has been there every place, and his word always says, I will meet your needs. And I can tell you, every one of my needs, my wife is at home watching tonight, every one of our needs have been met, even through these dark times, every one of our needs have been met. Sometimes he uses you guys. I had the best chicken noodle soup. People were delivering it, and they kept delivering chicken noodle soup. I got to be a connoisseur of chicken noodle soup while I had COVID. My wife did too. But it was such a blessing for people to be there. That's why I tell you guys about pride. You know, I was at a point where if somebody said, hey, I'm going to bring you chicken noodle soup, I'd say, ah, don't bother. I can't remember eating chicken noodle soup and stuff when I was young at home at my mom's at Campbell's. But people were bringing a bite, and I'm telling you, it got us through 10 days, and I can keep telling you the people that brought us stuff. But there again, I mean, if I was just up on my feet, I'd probably never let people help me. Do you know you have to be a participant? The Bible says it's better to be a giver than a receiver, but you have to be a gracious receiver. Because sometimes that makes you feel vulnerable, doesn't it? It does me. But when it does, it lets other people stretch their spiritual wings and bless other people. So,
well, you know, I admire Paul. And we're in the New Testament. We're in Acts 24. That was yesterday's. And he makes a defense. He's defending himself about these accusations. But it's more than that. It's a commentary on his life. And he says something. It's in 24:16. It's in 23:1. He says, I've lived my life with a perfectly good conscience. I've been blameless, man. I've made the effort to have a blameless conscience before God and before men. And the question I have here is, was his record clean? Was Paul's record clean? Did he have a clean record? He didn't. He had killed a lot of Christians. He had some blood on his hands. And there is a theory out there, and it's worth exploring, where they believe that the thorn in the flesh, his thorn was not just a little spina. In Spanish, it's a little pinprick or a goat head. You know, we see them here in the valley. It was a stake. It had substance to it. That's what it actually meant in the Greek. And this thing was sent to him. It was a messenger of Satan, approved by God. And Paul said, it keeps me humble. It keeps me from exalting myself. You know, I've been getting these visions. I went to heaven. I died and went to heaven and came back. I had a death and beyond experience. And this stake, it's keeping me humble. But it's haunting me. And I believe, and I think it's the blood, the innocent blood that he shed, and he couldn't get past it. Namely, Stephen. Stephen was the young guy, and Paul was the guy, he was the shot caller. He was the one that pushed the button. He was the one that said, called for that hit. You know, execute him. Because they laid their coats at his feet, and he consented. And he was the one that approved of it. And I believe that was on his mind, that stayed on his mind, and he couldn't shake it. He couldn't get past that guilt, you know, and that's a crazy theory. And so he can't go to Stephen. He can't tell Stephen, hey, I'm sorry, because the guy's dead. And it brings me to my first point. And if you're at odds with someone, may it be a loved one, a coworker, a parent, or whoever, make the effort to amend it. Go to them while they're alive. You know, if you're estranged or you've done something and you need to either forgive them or they need to forgive you, make that effort. You know, because once they're gone, it's really difficult. And I think that was what Paul dealt, you know, that's what he dealt with. And he went to God. He went to Jesus and he said, take it away. He told the Lord, take it away, Lord. I it's too much for me. It's tormenting me. What do you call it? An agent of Satan, a messenger of Satan. Take it away, Lord. And if I can paraphrase it, Jesus said, you know what? Focus on my forgiveness, Paul. Focus on the grace. Don't go on your feelings, Paul. Don't let this guilt eat you up. My grace is enough, Paul. It's sufficient. The grace, man, it'll power is perfected in weakness. Yeah, you have to be dependent on me. And I believe in the end, in the movie, the Apostle Paul, it was really cool. At the end, as he was going into eternity, the first person to meet him was Stephen. Stephen came up to him, and he greeted him in heaven, as did the other people that he killed, that he martyred. He hugged him. And I think that Paul did come to terms with it. He did accept the forgiveness from God. But the takeaway is, if you know somebody that you're on the outs with, go to them. Don't wait. Go to them. Talk to them.
I always say this to people. Unforgiveness is the only prison that you have the key to let yourself free of. Because sometimes the person that you can't forgive probably doesn't remember what you can't forgive them for.
Yeah.
So it's almost something that's good for you, and I think that's where Jesus said that if you don't forgive, then God can't forgive, because we have to understand forgiveness, and he forgives us. But it says we have to understand that God forgives us for a lot more than human beings do to us. I mean, the times that we spit in God's face or don't do what the word says to do, I mean, it's crazy. And you know, Hector, today, in today's devotion in Acts 26, when Paul was given the opportunity before Agrippa to talk about what he, you know, what he's about, he went back and he talked about his Damascus Road experience. And then at the end of it, he said, and so having obtained help from God, I stand to this day testifying both to small and great, stating nothing but what the prophets and Moses said was going to take place, which is Jesus Christ. So he said, I don't care if I'm talking to the poor beggar on the corner or I'm talking to you, King Agrippa. I'm just using my testimony, which was I was a bad person. I had all this garbage in my life, and Christ set me free from that. And that's all I'm going to talk about. You've got to realize that your testimony is so powerful, because it's your testimony. No one can refute your power, your testimony. And part of that forgiveness, when you forgive somebody will go, how'd you do that? Through God's power, I was able to forgive that. So,
well, you gave a verse earlier, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. And they may not accept, you know, you trying to reconcile. They may not accept that. But if, as far as for your good, as far as your concern, for your peace of mind. And then he goes to Felix, and there's this attorney, a prosecuting attorney. It's in 24, and it's Tertullus. And he brings these accusations at Paul. He calls him a plague. That's what it says in the NLT. You're a plague. You're a disease. And in reality, he's not. He's salt. Paul's a salt of the earth. We are. We're salt. Our world is diseased. Is it not? It's decaying. It's dying. And we're fighting that decay, you know, by our lives, the way we live. We're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. And here, Paul, he's got the Sanhedrin. They've all made this trip down to Caesarea, 65 miles away. And it's got the elders. It's got the Sadducees, the Pharisees. There's a group of them there. And he's outnumbered. And homie's alone. He's by himself. And Martin Luther says, with God, one is a majority. He's not alone. And Paul knows it. Paul doesn't fumble the ball. He's composed. He's bold. He knows God is on his side. He knows God is on his corner. And he says some things to him. He says some things to Felix. You know, and he talks about that conscience. He goes, I have a clear conscience. And somebody sent me something on social media about a white Christmas. They moved out of state, and they said, man, I got my white Christmas. He's talking about snow. And I thought to myself, you know what a white Christmas is? It's purity. It's getting a reboot, getting a do-over, getting to start over, getting clean, being clean, going to bed with a clean conscience, without sin hanging over you, you know, without you know, that plaguing you. And I thought, you know, a white Christmas. God wants to give you a white, God wants to give us a white Christmas and a white New Year, okay? He wants to give us that reboot. You know, I left a pin in my pocket, and my wife, it got washed. It was a black ink pen, and it exploded all over a comforter. And my wife got so mad at me. She was ticked. It was brand new. The comforter was brand new, and she goes, why did you do that? And that's a great picture of sin, how it stains you, especially the sexual stuff. It stains you, man, and no matter what you do, you feel like you can't get it out. And the only thing that can get that stain out is the red blood of Jesus. That's the only thing, man, that can make you clean, that can wash you clean. I look at my granddaughter. I look at her face, Jenna. She's beautiful, man, and she's got that purity. She's got that innocence, man. I love it when I look at her. And you may ask, Pastor Hector, can I get that? Can I get that innocence? Can I regain that? Can I have a clear conscience? Can I have that? Absolutely. You know how? By confessing. Confessing your stuff to God, right? Confessing your stuff to God. Examining yourself. Asking God to examine you, to check you out. We call it introspection. And when I did get COVID in June, and I was in the hospital. And I remember the chaplain came in on the day that I started feeling better. And he came in and I talked to my wife, you know, through him. He had a phone. And then he prayed for me. And I don't know, I started crying when he prayed for me. It was like it touched me. You know, I was on the receiving end of something we usually give, right? We're the ones praying for people. And I love praying for you guys. I love praying for my church. And this guy came and prayed for me. And after he left, God asked me, what's happened to you? Why are you out of touch with your emotions? Why haven't you been crying? And, you know, he showed me very tenderly, very gently, that my heart had become hardened, you know, over time. And, you know, when you get hurt, what do? You say, I'm not going to let you do that to me again. And you layer up. So I'm not going to let you do that, man. And your heart kind of gets hard. You harden yourself. And God showed me, hey, you got some unforgiveness towards some people here. And I had to talk to God about it and begin that process of forgiveness. And it brings me to the next point. Look in the mirror. Be honest with the Lord. And allow him to be honest with you. Because I had to ask my buddy over here to my left, Tony Aguilar. I had to ask him, hey, how am I doing?
Yeah. Don't you need people around you in your life that you can do that with?
He told me the truth. You say, he told me the truth, man. It was good. You need somebody to be honest. Like Tom Tustin will tell me, too. If I ask him, my friend Tom will tell me. But be ready for that. And then he goes to these people. Acts 24. I'll end with this. Acts 24, 24 and 25. Some days later, Felix arrived with Drusilla. She was like 19 years old. He had stolen her. He had lured her away from her husband. Felix was not a good guy. He was an ex-slave, okay? He had given that position by his brother. Didn't earn it, didn't work for it. Not a good person. his wife, who was a Jewess, and sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. But as he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix became frightened. He said, go away for the present, and when I find time, I will summon you. Think about those topics, you guys. Righteousness. And it says he was discussing, he was reasoning with him. He was talking to him. It was a discussion. It was a dialogue. Paul wasn't just forcing it down his throat. He was dialoguing with him. He was talking with him. Say, how can we resolve this, Felix? How can we get you right with the Lord? How can we fix this, Felix? And then he goes into the self-control thing. Wasn't that dangerous? Wasn't he not treading on dangerous territory? Here this guy had just stolen this other guy's wife. He was brutal. You know, he had all this lust. Paul loved the guy. He cared enough to tell him the truth. And he was telling him, don't let your lusts, don't let your passions rule you. Let God do it. And you know what that means? That means sometimes for us, holding your tongue, right? Or not eating what you want to eat. Or exercising when you don't want to exercise. That's that self-control. It comes from God. I'm constantly, how about you? I'm constantly asking God, help me. Help me with my self-control. I want you to be Lord of my life. And then he goes on to judgment. Talks to him about judgment. He said, Felix, you're going to stand before God. You will. We are. All are. And what did Felix do? Mañana. Mañana. Talk to me later, tomorrow. And the roles are reversed there. God switched the tables. And Paul's the one that should be afraid. Paul should be the one trembling because he's on trial. And God switches the roles. He reverses the roles. And it brings me to my last point. Don't put off for tomorrow what you can do today. You want to be clean? You want your conscience to be clear? Start the new year off right, you know? Examine yourself. God wants to give you a white new year, man, as well as a white Christmas. He wants to give you a, come let us, what does he say? Come let us reason, though your sins be as scarlet, you can be white as snow. Yeah. You can have that purity.
You know, Hector, and I think as we just have a couple minutes, what would be something you would tell people listening as we're going into 2021, and 2020 may not have been your best year? What's your plan? You know, what's your plan? Because either do we let 2021 roll over us, or do we come in prepared with the battle plan saying, God, no matter what happens, I'm going to thrive, because the Israelites thrived in Egypt and the Israelites thrived in Babylon, right? I mean, we can thrive in a difficult situation. It's easy to thrive when things are right, huh? Everything's going your way. But what's it going to be like? So I would encourage you, if you're going into this year tomorrow night, New Year's Eve, go into it maybe with communion. Letting God serve your heart. As I told you, I recognized I had left my first love, my pure love of Christ. You know, that I was willing to say, God, if you don't want me ever to work out again, I'm not doing it because I'm more important for me to be a servant of yours. You know, whatever I have to do, you've got my attention. The method doesn't matter. You've got my attention. But I was like, you. It's like, you know, saying, God, please forgive me for anything I've done. But then give me some wisdom going into 2021. What should I prepare for? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? And I'm telling you, the Bible says that the sheep hear Jesus' voice. I believe when people have a pure heart and want to know, God's going to tell you. He's going to give you hints, either through your word or through maybe somebody else in your Bible study or your spouse. Be ready to listen to that, because I think God's got some direction for us in 2021. And what happens for me may be different than you. But I tell you what, he does have direction.
You mentioned communion. That's really good, because Paul told the Corinthians, hey, some of you guys are weak, some of you are dying, and some of you are sick. And in the antidote, if you take it right, what does that mean? Healing, life, what's the third one?
I was listening to you. You were good, Hector. I was So, you know, there again, I'll bail you out here, Hector. The whole idea is have a true relationship with Jesus Christ, because he wants to have one with you. There's no doubt. Don't block it with anything. I always tell people, just come clean, because God already knows, right? You know, sometimes we just have to say it to get it off our chest, and there's healing that comes with that. But go into 2021 with this fresh relationship with Christ, knowing God is going to move in your life regardless. Because as I sat there and I contemplated twice over the last 4 months that COVID could take me or my heart could take me, but what's my end result? I want to go to heaven one day anyways. Heaven's my ultimate home. What's wrong with that? Of course, Tom doesn't want to leave this earth too early, but I also want to stay here too late either. I want to be in what God's doing. And so I came to peace with that. I came to peace with that. So as we go into 2021, God's got some good stuff for us. He really does. And what's the old saying? That it's your attitude. Don't let anybody change it. Don't let circumstances change it. And what do they say? Attitude is 90% of the battle. 10% is what happens, you know. And so it's how we react to it. So Hector, do you want to end us up in prayer and altar call?
Lord, we thank you for today, Lord. And I appreciate what Tom said, Lord, about fear. We're not to allow that. We're to give that to God and not be fearful of the future. We know you're in control. And we thank you for that, Lord. And I prayed, Lord, that there are some takeaways from tonight, Lord. If we are at odds with someone, let us make that effort to amend things, to fix it. While they're around, it could be a parent, could be a spouse, could be an ex-spouse, could be a son or a daughter, a boss. Fix it. Take care of it while they're still around, while the healing is available. I pray also, God, that you give us the guts to look in the mirror. Look in the mirror and examine ourselves. And I like what Tom said. Maybe start the new year off with taking communion. You know, introspecting, allowing you to put that flashlight into our hearts. And help us not to procrastinate. Help us not to wait. It brings anxiety when we procrastinate. And if we do feel anxious, God, I pray that we'll give it to you. We'll ask you to help us, God, to push past that. And Lord, and if anybody here is, you want to accept the Lord, you know today's the day. And if you're online and you want to accept the Lord, all you have to do is ask him in. Ask him into your heart. Confess him as Lord. Let him take over. Give him the car keys. Let's say the vehicle is your life. Yeah. Give him the car keys to your life. And so I pray, Lord, that you show these people you want to give them the Holy Spirit. You want to rule. And I thank you for the people that have come out tonight. Bless them. Yeah. In Jesus' name. If you need prayer, guys, we got some prayer people up here.
Yeah. We're going to see you guys next year. I always wait to say that. Can't say it, but now. But other than that, go on out. Have a great evening. Be safe tomorrow night. And hope to see you on Sunday, where Pastor Ron will be speaking 8, 9, and 11. He's got a great New Year's message, so you don't want to miss that.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King.